Thank you, ladies, for the beautiful, beautiful music. I think one of the greatest joys of coming back to worship is listening to music. Not that Daniel hasn't been doing a great job with the guitar, but it sure is nice hearing the organ and the piano again, too. Let's stand as we read the scripture. We'll be turning to one verse of scripture today, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Impossible to pass over this passage of scripture when you look at Philippians chapter 1 in the opening verses. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, a great passage that speaks to our hearts and gives assurance, assurance of salvation. Philippians 1, 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessings to this beautiful, beautiful promise and statement of truth to our lives. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come this day, and indeed, we come to proclaim and also to claim this great truth that, yes, we can have assurance of eternal life. We can have the assurance of knowing you as our personal Savior, and when we die, we go to heaven, and we can have it today. Father, we bow before you and ask that the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Bring this great truth, the depths of this great truth, to our understanding and to our hearts. O Spirit of God, we ask you again this morning, teach us. Teach us your word. Apply your word to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can a person once saved ever be lost again? In Bible conferences and teaching evangelism, I often ask the people to raise their hands. And it's interesting to see the division that takes place in some groups. Some who affirm that, no, I can never lose my salvation because the scriptures teach it. The great Bible doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is the doctrine that no one whom God has brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ will ever go to hell, will ever be lost again. And we as Baptists have stood on that great doctrine down through the ages. I'm one of those individuals that begin a lot of projects, but I never finish them. And my wife was in the first service, and she agreed 100% that I begin a lot of things around the house that seem to never get finished off. I have a lot of projects that I write that don't get finished off. A curriculum that I write for the seminary that doesn't quite get there. Sometimes I have to be pushed, like I did a few weeks ago when the Board of Trustees at Peniel Theological Seminary in Riobamba, Ecuador, called on Zoom one Monday afternoon and said, tomorrow afternoon at 3:00, we want you to teach the new curriculum on the cults. And that was the push that I needed to get it done. I'd been assigned that project back in September. A lot of things happening between September and now. And then these guys were saying, hey, we want this course. Teach us that we may be able to teach others. You probably do the same thing. You begin projects that you don't finish. Things around the house that you want to see accomplished. And those instructions to the husbands to get done. We begin, but we don't finish. You should see the smile on wives' faces right now. We begin projects that we don't finish, but boy, isn't it wonderful to know that God never begins something he doesn't finish. God never starts something that he's not finished. He's persevering. And how I thank him that he is persevering with this saved sinner. And if Christ has started something in your life, he's going to finish it. If you've been born again, If you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, been justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, you never fear of being lost again. You have been declared just in the sight of the Lord God for all eternity, and God's not going to change his mind. You have been adopted, full-grown adult in the family of God. And he's not kicking you out of his family. No, we're under the sun. We have this assurance, Paul tells us, and Jesus tells us, the assurance of salvation, who we are in Jesus Christ. I'm sure you have claimed the verses of Jesus over and over again when Jesus, the night before his crucifixion, speaks to his disciples and says, stop it now. They are doing something, imperative statement, you got to stop right now, this very moment. What is it? Stop being troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. That's sort of the way we polish out the statement, but it's an imperative statement. Stop it now. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I'd have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. For if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a tremendous, tremendous truth that we claim as believers in Jesus Christ. Great statement of assurance of salvation. Or we go over to John chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jesus that same night says, I am. It's one of those great statements of divinity. God is speaking. The ego me is speaking. I am. I am the way. And there's no other way. Boy, if we follow him in the way, we're going to arrive where he arrives. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 that I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Salvation is God's work. Remember, Paul is still chained to this Roman soldier about 4.5 feet away from him. He's writing to this church that he started 10 years ago in Philippi. The church began in a home of Lydia. The Philippian jailer, the demon-possessed woman, and others have come to know Christ as their Savior. And Paul is writing back to them and said, remember that day when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Well, I'm convinced, I'm confident of this very thing, that what he began in Philippi in your lives, he's going to continue until the day when Jesus Christ returns. Boy, that's a great truth for us today, isn't it? That salvation is God's work from beginning to end, and where it's been truly inaugurated, where people have been born again, God says, I'm going to finish what I have begun. Do you have that confidence? Do you have that confidence today as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that what God began in your life back that day when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that moment when the Holy Spirit did that work of regeneration in your heart and you were born again, a new creation, that day, Paul tells us, that day, I have the confidence in this, that day, God will continue to work out that good work until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm confident, Paul says. I'm confident of this very thing. What's that confidence, Paul? Paul's joy. Paul's confidence is this work of grace in the heart of the individual. God is at work. Men will deceive you, but God will not. And Paul says, I have this settled, firm persuasion. It's a strong word Paul uses here. To be convinced, to be sure, to be certain. I am absolutely sure of this very thing, that God will fully finish what he began in our lives. I love old Kenneth Woost in his expanded translation. When he translates this verse and says, Paul has this settled, firm persuasion concerning this very thing, that he who began a work which is good will bring it to successful conclusion right up to the day of Christ coming. Do you have the assurance? Do you have that deep conviction of your own heart that yes, yes, that is true. That's true in my life. We could turn to Paul in Second Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 12. And Paul uses the same conviction, the same words when he says, I know by experience, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced. It's like Paul says, I have added it all up, and I'm not going to change my mind on this subject. Here's a man of conviction. I know whom I believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard that which I've trusted to him until that day. The day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, there are some things which are absolutely true, and I will not change my convictions about these things. In the day in which we live, these are the type of convictions that we need. As we look over the past 3 months, as we face today, not just in the United States, but around the world, this is the assurance that we need. These are the convictions that we need as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, Chuck Swindoll put it this way. He said, I try to begin my mornings every day. God, you're at work. You're in control. And Lord God, you know what's happening. You were there at the very beginning, and you will bring everything that occurs to a conclusion that results in your greater glory and our greater good. Then, and only then, relax. From that point on, it really doesn't matter at all what happens. It's in God's hands. When we come on a day like this, we look at the events happening in the world, we look at our own situation, our own lives, and we can stand back, and as we have said for the last 3 months, God's still in control. I've been amazed to watch how God has opened doors, all kinds of doors for Dixie Baptist Church, for doors of ministry, indeed, around the world in the preaching of the gospel. Never has there been a day in which people are not thinking about death. Thinking about the relationship with the Lord God. I was almost amused this morning at a passage of scripture like this, and it was an elderly congregation this morning. You'd be surprised. How many people walked up after the service Sunday morning and said, I needed that message this morning. I needed that sense of assurance this morning. That regardless of all that's happening in this world, I know with deep conviction in my heart of my relationship with Jesus Christ. That firm confidence in God means that it's in his hands. that he who started something will persevere until the very end. Do you have that kind of confidence? Do you have that kind of confidence that Paul is talking about here? The confidence of what God is doing in your life as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of opinion. It's not my opinion versus your opinion. There are all kinds of opinions about salvation. All kinds of opinions about the assurance of salvation. But if you come to this settled conviction with all of your heart, I know I'm saved. I have the assurance in my heart that the moment I die, I'm going into the presence of Jesus Christ. I have observed through the years there's probably three reasons people do not have assurance of salvation. Number one is the most important question of all. Have you been born again? Has regeneration taken place in your heart? Have you come to that place in your life where you realize that I am a sinner? I have come short of what God wants. The heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked, and it's my heart. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and brought conviction of my sin and conviction that God loved me so much he sent his son to go to the cross and die on the cross for my sins and rise from the dead. And I put my faith and trust in Christ as my Savior. Been born again? Know Christ as your personal Savior? That's the bottom line. You'll never have assurance of salvation if you don't have salvation. Second question is, are you trusting in God's word? Are you trusting in the opinions of men? Or have you chosen to put your faith and trust in the word of God? Years ago as a university student, I came to that conviction. All kinds of opinions in this world, but what does God say? What does the word of God say upon a passage like this? I am convinced, Paul says. We can put our faith in the word of God. For I am convinced of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you or in me will perfect it in the day of Jesus Christ. Abundant number of passages of Scripture reinforce the same thing that Paul is saying here. Paul said, if a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. A whole new creation, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Been born again? Are you trusting God's word? Are you taking the promises and the word of God as it's stated in the word of God over eternal security? And putting your faith in the word or in somebody's opinion? And the third question comes out, are you living in sin? Been born again? Yeah, I understand the word of God. But if you're living in sin, you'll never have peace with God. The Holy Spirit will keep working in your heart to bring you to confess your sins to him and bring about changes in your life, even as a believer in Jesus Christ. Christian living in sin will never have peace with God, because there's the work of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction, bringing change. Remember, the goal of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life is to conform the believer to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. These are important truths that is desperately needed in our day. We can't neglect a passage of Scripture like this and be reminded that God is the one who's at work. The Holy Spirit comes in and opens our eyes and brings about change in our lives. through the years, it was interesting. Sunday school class today mentioned about C.S. Lewis. I think I bought all of C.S. Lewis' books years ago and read them. One is Surprised by Joy. His testimony is one that to this day just rings a bell in my heart. Oh, C.S. Lewis speaks of the Hound of Heaven. He's up in the second deck of a bus in England, London, and said, "I gave in. I admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night the most dejected, the most reluctant, the most convert in all of England. And I did not see what is now the most shining and the obvious thing, the divine humility, in which will accept a convert even under these conditions. The prodigal son at least walked home on his own feet, but who can duly adore the love with which opens the high gates to a prodigal who is brought in kicking and struggling, resentful, the darting eyes in every direction for a chance to escape?" Later on, C.S. Lewis is talking to one of his graduate students, and he says, "The Holy Spirit is after you, and I doubt if you'll get away." Not true in your life? Boy, true in my life. I thank the Lord God to this day that the Hound of Heaven tracked me down, brought me to the realization that, man, salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. And through the years, the growth, the sanctification, it hasn't stopped. He keeps on working and developing in our lives, bringing us to those convictions. This is not the only passage that talks about assurance of salvation. John chapter 10, we looked at it last Wednesday night in our Bible study. John chapter 10, verses 24 to 30. Man gives us nine reasons to believe in eternal security in that chapter. Or go over to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, and Paul gives five incontestable questions. Five questions that you really can't answer that he gives. And man, profound teaching upon the assurance of salvation. Or 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. Passage after passage after passage that gives us the assurance of salvation. And we don't have to go flipping with the channels. We don't have to listen to this preacher or that preacher or this idea or that idea. But come back to the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, and sink our teeth in the Word of God when it says, "For I'm convinced. I have this confidence. I have this assurance. I'm confident of this very thing. That day when God began a good work in you," that's salvation. That's the day you were born again. And he will perfect it. He will perfect it. He will keep on pulling the false assurances out from under you until you trust him and trust him alone. I'm convinced that what he began in your life, he will continue to work it out until that great, glorious day, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that every person sitting here this morning has that same conviction, that you can come like the Apostle Paul and say, "I know. I know. I've come to this reasoned conclusion, and nobody's going to change my mind. Not because it's my opinion, but because it's the Word. It's the Word of God. Do you have that conviction today? If not, you can today. Today, you can walk out of this church today and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know whom I have believed. My confidence is in Jesus Christ alone. Absolutely nothing else. And day after day after day, you build upon that conviction. And boy, you see God doing marvelous things in your life. The beauty of God's grace. The beauty of assurance. And if you do not have that assurance, you can today. Before we leave the congregation, or sitting in your car listening to the radio this morning, watching Funny Book, this morning, you can have that deep assurance that yes, I know Jesus Christ. And I have the assurance I'm going to heaven. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise that you've given to us. But not just a promise, the truth, the wonderful truth of knowing you and having that assurance beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know. I'm convinced. And oh Lord God, I pray right now, the Holy Spirit will do that work in the heart of every person listening to my voice this day. In Jesus' name I pray.